It's Tuesday, May 4th. May the 4th be with you. I'm Jeff Schwartz alongside Gabe Goodwin. This is Jeff Schwartz this morning. I don't even know what that means, Gabe. I was just told to say that. My producer wrote that in for me to say. What is it? Does that even like, is it Star Wars, Star Trek? Am I just out of touch with reality?
That's a
now?
Star Wars reference. Yeah, May the 4th. May the 4th be with you. That's a, you know, that's an internet thing. Which, what is your favorite Star Wars movie, Jeff? Have you seen any of them?
I saw the original, what, 4, 5, and 6, right? The original ones.
Yeah, I don't like calling it that. That's ridiculous to me. I'm sorry, Star Wars geeks. We're not among you. Calling the original Star Wars the fourth makes no sense.
So will you call them 1, 2, 3?
I don't care. I don't call them anything. I just, I can't do the thing that all Star Wars fans do where they like map the whole story and know the whole galaxy and universe of characters. It's pointless.
Is this how people talk about Game of Thrones that don't watch Game of Thrones?
Yeah, because I felt the same way about Game of Thrones. I said for a long time, I was like, I don't like goblins. I'm not going to watch this show. And people are like, it doesn't have goblins. And then you get in and you're like, I have to know 9 different families, like the Targaryens and the it's ridiculous.
Well, luckily for you, you only have to know 32 NFL teams for the draft recap that we're about to do right now. It was a wild weekend of NFL. Starting with Aaron Rodgers on Thursday before the draft, ending with obviously 7 rounds of the NFL draft. And Gabe, a lot to talk about. I'm glad you're here, and let's get to it.
Yeah, it's much simpler. And by the way, Nick, our producer, is definitely a Star Wars fan, and he's very offended. He's
very
texting
upset.
Us in our chat. We'll get to the logic of the analogy to Star Wars later. Let's talk draft, like you said. So, Jeff, I'm going to give you another quote from a movie you probably don't know. It's such a fine line between clever and stupid. And the Niners walked that line last week. So let's give them the benefit of the doubt and say that everything they did leading up to the draft was very clever because they got their guy, Trey Lance, at number 3. It seemed very stupid for a long time, but it worked out. So, Jeff, here's the take nobody in the Bay Area wants to hear that I'm going to throw at you. That correct me if I'm wrong, but this dude has only played 1 real season of FCS football.
Correct.
All right? Then he didn't play last year except for, I think, 1 game. It would be a ridiculous comparison to make between him and Patrick Mahomes, as I keep hearing and seeing, to think that he's going to become that right away, unless you do exactly what the Chiefs did with Pat Mahomes and sit him behind a veteran and let him learn for at least a year, right?
Well, first of all, thank you, Niners, for not taking Mac Jones. Thank you. You did the right thing. You took Trey Lance or Justin Fields. Those are the two options. You're right. Justin Fields has way more production in college than does Trey Lance, but you're drafting him off the traits that he possesses. He actually played an under-center offense in college, which is what the Niners do a lot of. Mm-hmm. And yes, very raw, but the potential is through the roof. Every quarterback in this offense succeeds. It's hard to find one that has failed. Now, to my argument, has been this for months. Now you take a higher trait guy, right? A higher ceiling guy. You put him in the offense. He should be good. Now, there's going to be growing pains, right? But when you invest the 2 future round draft picks, you invest in moving up to 3. You got to play the kid sooner or later, in my opinion. Like I think Trey Lance for rookie of the year is a great bet. I think it's like plus 800 because even if he plays 13 games or 12 games, let's say, right? Mm-hmm. In that offense, he's going to put up numbers. Every the quarterback puts up numbers. I would imagine Trey Lance puts up numbers as well. Now, as he will grow into that role as he continues to play more and more and more. But I think Jimmy G will be on the roster because who's trading for him now? The Patriots got their guy.
Yeah.
But I don't think he plays very much. It's easy to say the Alex Smith, Pat Mahomes thing. That was very special, right? I mean, a lot of times teams say, we're going to do that. We're going to do that. And then you start out 0-2. Or you start out 1-1. Or you start out 1-3. And you put the young guy in. Or the young guy plays so well in training camp that you're overwhelmed by his talent and you play him sooner. So while they might say this, the Pat Mahomes, Alex Smith thing, that's a rarity now, right? That's rare. I think in a lot of these situations, these guys are playing right now. I mean, I think Justin Fields is playing right now in Chicago. I think Mac Jones sooner or later will play in New England. I think Trey Lance will play sooner or later in San Francisco. So if he sits all year, I don't really reserve judgment on going up and getting him, but obviously they like his upside. But the question I have, Gabe, is this. Is I do think they wanted Mac Jones when they trade up to 3.
Hmm.
Here's why. A lot of people speculate on what they wanted, right? They gave their opinion people, right? But one guy, Adam Schefter, tweeted it out. He's not an opinion guy. He's like a fact guy. And if he tweeted it out, That means that someone he trusted told him they were doing that. And, like, he doesn't get those reports wrong. Like, does that make sense? Like, I wouldn't think that he would tweet that out if it wasn't what they were doing. So I am curious if the Niners fell into Trey Lance because they just did more research, which would be a bad method, right? Which would be a bad method. You don't want to trade up for someone at 2-3 and not know who you're taking already.
So I'm gonna counter that idea. That's why I was saying this was either clever or stupid. I think we have to call it clever because it seems like it worked. But I think if Schefter put it out there, this do not interpret this as any kind of a slight against Schefter, who is a very, very well sourced, thorough, good reporter. But it's also possible that someone used him or burned him or pick the word you want. That Adam's an extremely smart person who probably doesn't get played very often. But isn't it possible that somebody gave him information that said they want Mac Jones so that he would report it, so that the Jets or whomever else around them would think it, but it never really was the case? Like, isn't that possible?
It's definitely possible, but the question is why? Why the smokescreen? And the idea is that they didn't want the Jets to start thinking about the player they were taking, right? Because that staff is from San Francisco.
Right.
And if you hear Kyle Shanahan likes a quarterback, even though you like Zach Wilson, you might say, hey, if he likes that guy, what are we missing? What are we missing? In, you know, let's go back and watch Trey Lance and figure it out. That might be that's the only reason why I can see the smokescreen, right? Is that they love Trey Lance from the start. They didn't want the Jets to get a whiff on it. If you're a Jets fan, would you have taken Trey Lance or Zach Wilson?
I mean, to be honest with you, I don't really see how either is going to help the Jets anytime soon. But I would rather have Trey Lance for the long term because I don't think Zach Wilson will be around for the long term.
Yeah, and you mean you really wanted to draft Penei Sewell, which is what
I just wanted to keep on beefing up the line and worry about quarterback in the future. But I think let's unpack that for a second because Bill Barnwell did a good job on the ESPN Daily podcast this morning describing that staff is so overlapping, right? And there are so many San Francisco guys there because of Coach Sala that maybe they were worried the Jets were playing some mind games too and would steal their guy, so they pretended they wanted Mac and right. Yada yada. But that's too confusing. So let's go back to the thing I really want to talk about with you, which is why you really think they won't be disciplined and you think they'll put in Trey Lance soon and not do what worked for Pat Mahomes. If everyone wants this guy to become the next Pat Mahomes, why not follow the playbook? Why would they put him in game 4 or game 6?
It's just really hard, I think, when you're trying to win now, to not get your young guy playing time. Like, if you don't play him this year, you basically wasted a year of Trent Williams' contract. You wasted one more year of Nick Bosa. Like, you've wasted a lot of player seasons by not playing the guy of the future. I mean, Jimmy's not winning a Super Bowl. Do we agree on that, I think?
I think so, but can I push back and just say, like, you wasted a year, but also, like, this guy's never played against even D1 talent, let alone, I mean, has this guy ever been hit by a guy who could possibly play in the NFL? I don't think so.
I mean, look, Carson Wentz played his first season in the NFL too. Like, I mean, you can do it as a young cat. Joe Flacco, I don't know, did Joe Flacco play his first year in the NFL? He had played much longer than did Trey Lance though, so in college.
Wentz and Flacco both got in there pretty quick and started pretty hot in their careers. So I was going to bring that up. There is some track record of guys making the move from that level of football to the NFL without a lot in between. But man, like, truly, I mean, you know, like, do you play against anyone who could hit you like they can hit you in the NFL when you're playing at North Dakota State?
No, you don't. But there's also a theory that you just have to get him in there and let him play. Like, what is sitting on the bench going to do for him to get him prepared for this?
I'll throw a theory at you. The guy they have, Jimmy G, basically went from backup to starter who could make a Super Bowl all because he sat behind Tom Brady. At least that's the legend, right? So is it possible Jimmy G could be a good mentor? He knows how to be taught. Could he teach?
I say this often. It's not the responsibility of the older player to do the teaching. I think Jimmy G will be friendly with him, but will he go out of his way to mentor him? I don't know. Doesn't have to. Right? Yeah. He didn't have to go out of his way. That's not his job. If Jimmy G started the starting quarterback for the Niners this year, His job is to win football games, not to mentor his replacement. So I think Jimmy G will be cordial to him and he'll help him out, but he won't go out of his way to help Trey Lance out. There's no chance, I think.
All right. Well, then that segues us to the other sexy quarterback name from the first round, or at least the surprise one, and a mentor-mentee type situation in Chicago. So the Bears moved up, spare everyone the details, but they moved up when they saw the chance to get Justin Fields. They got him. So now he's on the roster. There's only really one take out there, which was that he was the best value pick at 11 as a quarterback. That's what everyone smart seems to be saying. But my questions really have to do with how he fits in and how soon we see him. And remember, you can unpack this for us, but like we got Foles and Dalton and now him. Do I have that right? Like there's a lot of quarterbacks
Foles will be gone soon. So, trading up for Fields is a huge bonus, especially when everyone thought he was the second or third best quarterback in this draft. They got him for a huge value here. But there's a couple interesting things about this. I'm surprised ownership let them do this because, you know, if Maggie and Pace don't win this year, even with the young quarterback, they're out, right? They're out. So all the future assets they trade away don't help the new coach. And we saw that Matt Nagy did not or was not flexible enough in his offense to design it for Trubisky. He didn't put in enough simple things, running the ball, things like that, to help Trubisky out. Now, you can argue that no matter what they did, it was not going to make Trubisky a good quarterback. So he tried to run his offense best he could. And, you know, it's not like Foles played well either, right? So
right.
Justin Fields comes in with the clear, in my opinion, shot at number one job right away. And Dalton's there for a backup deal. 1 year, $10 million. I think Fields comes in and the day one starter. I don't think there's no turning back. I think you draft him. And look, two, just like the Niners, but a little bit different because the coaches are in the hot seat here in the GM. They got to win now. Like they have to show Justin Fields is their guy now. They can't wait for a 2-5 start with Dalton put Fields in. They have to do it from the beginning. So I think he actually plays from day one as a starter.
Okay, and how well do you think he will play? Because he's a mystery. Like, for some reason, he went from arguably the best quarterback around. We all just gave up that Trevor Lawrence was obviously number one. Everyone just had agreed on that. Then it seemed for the longest like he was a very close number two, like barely a gap there. Super athletic, a winner in college, you know, proved he could win in different systems, etc. Like he had all the measurables, but for some reason we just fell out of love with him because other guys were starting to rise in pro days and silly nonsense. Like, isn't he kind of the most proven of all these quarterbacks, excepting of course Lawrence?
I think he is, and I think he will play well. Everyone, has Matt Nagy as a kind of a quarterback guru, quarterback whisperer. Well, here's your opportunity, right? Here's your guy, the guy you wanted. I think he'll be good. It's hard to find areas where I think he'll be at fault. And you got Allen Robinson now, the best quarterback probably that Allen Robinson has played with. So I'm excited to watch it. I'm excited to watch it. Look, Nagy has his opportunity now with the guy that he wants. We keep hearing how he's an offensive genius, right? How he's an offensive play caller. How he can get this going. Well, here's his chance. Here's your chance, buddy. From day one, you have the opportunity to show that you are the guru people thought. You get Justin Fields, a highly talented player, and you go make this happen.
Yeah. Well, also, you're going to have to do something to keep Allen Robinson and company happy. So, all right. Well, let's use him as a jump off to a couple more quarterbacks whose names have come up, but you know, because of the moves that the Bears made and a few other things that happened, this means that essentially Mac Jones falls right in the lap of the Patriots, which was always going to be everyone's nightmare. Of course he ends up there. And then everyone, the easy, safe take is like, oh, Mac Jones, you know, without a shirt on at 20, he looks just like Tom Brady. Or, oh, he was a Saban guy, he'll be a Belichick guy. So like everyone just sort of fits him into simple narratives that they understand. But is this guy actually going to A, play soon in New England, and B, be any good under Belichick? Because I don't really believe that he's great.
You know, I'm kind of with you, man. Like, I think that Tom Brady is the outlier. Tom Brady is so special. It's hard to say Mac Jones will be what they had in Tom Brady. And not even, of course, you know, they don't mean exactly the exact, player that he is. But just the idea that you can find yourself another Tom Brady, it seems silly to me. And again, it doesn't diminish Belichick as a coach, but I don't see it, man. I don't see it.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's interesting about what they're going to do is, so your base offense is put in for everyone. It's put in for the ones, twos, threes, fours, fives. It's put in, right? Your base offense is put in for everybody. Now, obviously, New England will have plays in their offense for Cam Newton to run the football. And they'll have play-action passes off that. They'll have entire packages for that. So, Mac Jones will do none of that. So, if they start the year with Cam Newton as their quarterback, it's kind of hard just to go into a different package and a different offense with Mac Jones. So, I'm actually, this is the one I'm most curious about, is what do they do at quarterback this season? Because they're different quarterbacks. So, if you start with Cam Newton under center, it seems very unlikely that Mac Jones will get an opportunity to play this year unless Cam gets hurt. But if you start the year with Mac Jones at quarterback, that's who your guy is. So, I'm actually sort of interested to see how they're to me the most, like I said, I think Trey Lance and Jimmy G are semi-interchangeable, right? Like, I mean, semi might be a little bit much, but you know what I mean? Like, you can kind of run the same offense with either or. But to me, you can't do that with Cam Newton and Mac Jones. So, it's something about Mac Jones, man. I don't know. I just get this vibe from him. I don't know what it, like, it just, like, the whole frumpy body thing, like, I don't think that's, like, a cool trait to have. I don't know, like, oh, it looks like Tom Brady. I mean, Tom is, even in college, I think Tom was just different than Mac Jones.
I agree with you. I'll go a little further. One of my favorite players of recent years coming out of college, because he was such a good talker, not because he was any good as a player, was Greg McElroy. And I see in Mac Jones, I basically see Greg McElroy with like four more NFL playmakers on the field with him. You know, like, remember, they were winning back then. This is not that many years ago, but Alabama won championships back then despite their quarterback. They had a really smart game manager in Greg and a few other NFL players around him. But they weren't like the full-on, absurd, obscene, college football is broken NFL factory that Alabama is now. I mean, the first round was just a joke. And obviously COVID played a role in that. People want to go with the known. But like, what was it, six, seven guys? It felt like every other pick was an Alabama guy. And to think that this guy is leaps and bounds better than Greg McElroy was coming out of college seems sort of absurd to me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you there. Like, to me, what makes Tom Brady so special is like the drive, right? It's stuff you hate about Tom Brady, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's like that the 24/7 control freak, and just the way he lives his life, everything he dedicates to the game, and just the confidence and the bravado and so to say someone would be like, you know, they want to make him like Tom Brady, you have to have it inside of you. And like, we don't know that about Mac Jones yet. I can't tell you he's going to do it or not do that. But to me, that's what separates Tom Brady, who has a great arm, but you know, not as physically gifted as other quarterbacks. That's what has set him apart than other guys who don't move as well, right? Is the ability to just prepare, play the way he has to, and maximize every ounce of his body. So Mac Jones in this offense, to me, he might do fine, but does he have that extra? Because he's not going to be the most physically gifted quarterback of them all. I think Tom Brady has a better arm than Mac Jones, even coming out of college. Like, so does he have that extra to overcome some limitations? I don't know yet. I really don't. And I think the answer is probably no.
Well, I mean, say it another way, does he have the chip on the shoulder narrative he can create for himself? Not really. He just walked his way through a national championship, throwing five touchdowns and no picks, surrounded by NFL talent, always thought to be a pretty good player. He goes in the first round. Okay, he slipped a few picks, but he goes in the first round. Like, all the things that turned Tom Brady from just a great athlete into a machine of winning for two decades, where that it started with the chip on the shoulder. You know, it started from proving he wasn't like a fourth stringer. Mac Jones is going to be, might be a starter week one, like maybe, Tom Brady had to win job after job after job, and that turned him into who he is. So I don't see it either. I really don't.
It's a really good point about, you know, the underdog role. Tom Brady obviously still plays that role, right? I mean, that's
he still creates it for himself. He knows it will make him better to pretend that people are counting him out.
Right. So I didn't think about that. It's a really good point. It's part of that kind of preparation, right? That motivation, the way he does everything, that it's hard to duplicate, to replicate that. So, I mean, look, Belichick has his chance now, right? They've added the pieces in free agency. They've added the pieces in the draft. They have a quarterback now. Let's see if he can do it.
Well, let's use this as our segue to the last topic, which is just an absurd one. And it gave us a laugh on Thursday when the Packers came up. But motivating a superstar quarterback in old age to try to keep playing well is a real mind game coaches can play. So Aaron Rodgers is still a Packer as of this recording. Depending on who you follow on Twitter, he was almost a Bronco at one point during the draft. I think he was also almost retired. He was certainly almost the host of Jeopardy. Now apparently he's just upset with the whole Packers organization, and we don't really know what to expect from the league MVP going into next season. I'm just going to put this out there. Aaron Rodgers is continuing to do his absolute best Brett Favre impersonation as he enters the twilight of his career. There are too many similarities for me to count, but it really comes down to Aaron Rodgers. He just has to decide he's on board or he's not, and nothing's going to change until he makes up his mind. It's not like the Packers can suddenly convince him of whatever he's looking for. He just has to decide it or not.
Okay, so let's talk about this, because this is so interesting. So it comes out Thursday, Aaron Rodgers upset with the Packers. He wants to be traded. There seemed like there was actually no serious trade talks to get him out of there. And then, you know, by Friday, it was like, we're in the same spot that we were. So he's upset with the Packers for not building the roster around him like he thinks they need to be done, right? He's upset because they didn't give him a contract extension. He's really upset mostly because they drafted Jordan Love, right? Jordan Love, they traded up to draft Jordan Love, and they won't give him a contract extension. It's the same point that Belichick and Brady were at 4 years ago, right? So you won't give me a long-term deal, and you're not giving me help. What the hell, front office? I think Aaron Rodgers has a right to be upset, but I think he just kind of goes about it in a real sensitive way. Like, the day of the draft, this is coming out. You're just going to take all the shine from all these draft picks to get your name out there. Again, there weren't any one that seemed like they actually were close to trading about him. Like, close, doesn't seem like, still doesn't seem to be that way. And some of the demands, you know, fire the coach, blah, 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 or fire the general manager. Look what they did this past year in the draft, too. And this draft, this one, they got better as a team, I think. They drafted a corner in the first round. Guess what? They need a freaking corner. Look at their defense last year. Like, they, last year was a screw. But then look, the Packers aren't scot-free on this either. They put out the report today that they tried to get Justin Jefferson last year and tried to get, who was the other guy? Tried to get someone else, but they couldn't do it. Oh, Brandon Ayuk. And they just couldn't do it. But then you trade up for Jordan Love. What Packers? So they're both in a stalemate right now. Look, I think Rodgers plays next season. It might not be till week one, but is he really going to forfeit his signing bonus, get fined, and go host Jeopardy and just quit over this?
Well, I don't know, except that remember how this guy became Aaron Rodgers. He had to sit there quietly putting up with Brett Favre doing almost all the same things. Flirting with retirement, making a big stink, not showing up, messing with his contract, you know, fielding all sorts of... It's all the same stuff. And almost exact same points in their career. The only difference is Aaron clearly seems to have more years ahead of him than Brett did when his end in Green Bay eventually came. So I just wonder if he's just repeating the playbook that sort of like onboarded him to this league.
I mean, it's definitely possible that he's doing that, but I just think this is what Rodgers has always kind of done, right? Like, he's always gone to the media when he's been upset. Did you know that no Packer has started a quarterback for more than 16 years? Favre, 16 years, and Bart Starr, 16 years, and now Rodgers, 16 years. The issue that he's going to run into is who trades for him.
Well, right.
The NFC, no one in the NFC, they're not going to trade him to the NFC. It's the Broncos. You want to be in the West Coast? The Broncos, I guess. The Raiders? You're going to get along with John Gruden. What if you go to Denver and they tell you, you know, they tell you like, you know, you're not in charge of personnel. And what if that's a trade like Jerry Jeudy? Like, I just don't. At what point is it enough for him?
Right.
That they've done enough to get him what he wants. I understand his gripe 2 years ago. They trade up to draft Jordan Love, but also too on the Packers side as well. Like, you're in this spot because you drafted Jordan Love. So if you call his bluff, you have to be ready to play Jordan Love.
Yeah.
And you have to play Jordan Love with the idea you could win a championship with him. Because that's why you drafted him. So it's just like a freaking circle which goes round and round of all these different, of why they're in this situation. Well, so
also why they got an MVP performance out of the guy, because right. They lit a fire under his ass by drafting Jordan Love.
And also, like, it was talk of, if they trade him to the Niners this year, they could take the third pick and draft a quarterback.
Right.
You just drafted a quarterback last year. Like, you're not going to draft another quarterback. So the Packers, I don't get the Jordan Love pick. I still have not gotten it. I still don't get it. I get you want to move on. But this feels a lot like the Patriots and what happened with the Patriots and Tom Brady at the end.
Right, except unlike the Patriots, it doesn't seem like Aaron's going to be quite as lucky where he can walk onto a Super Bowl caliber roster, bring a few key pieces with him just through the force of will that is Aaron Rodgers. Like, he's not going to be able to do what Tom Brady did. I think he's a better quarterback, but he's not going to be able to move the pieces the way Tom Brady so perfectly was able to move them to Tampa Bay. So he's just going to end up, if it's Denver, like, okay, great. Now you're a 10-6 team coming in second in the AFC West, having to get beat up by Pat twice a year to lose in an AFC divisional round game. Like, why is that better?
That's a good point, because again, I mean, what does he want from Denver? Now they have Jerry Jeudy, they have Fant, like they have some talented players.
Yeah.
But are those players gone in a trade? You know what I mean? Like, are they part of the trade? Like, so that's part of it as well, right? Is that they might be gone in the trade, because the Packers, it'd be really funny if they traded for like Jerry Jeudy and gave him to Jordan Love, but but wouldn't do that for Aaron Rodgers. It's gonna be a stalemate, man. I don't see this being resolved anytime soon. And I think when week one comes around, Aaron Rodgers will still be the quarterback of the Packers. If they give him new money, this ends all of that too. Like, give him extension, ends all of it.
So why is that even an issue though? Shouldn't they just do that? Because, I mean, well, he's an even younger guy than Brady, but he's lived his life the same.
But I really think they're like the Patriots were at the end. They're just, historically speaking, quarterbacks at this age start to drop like flies. Now, Rodgers hasn't shown that at all.
No.
So I understand that if you're a Packers fan or you're a Rodgers stan, you're saying, hey, he hasn't dropped off the cliff. Why would they even do this? But I understand if you're the Packers. You're like, hey, the guy's going to be 38, man. Like, we have to protect ourselves. We have a good young team. We have talented players. But again, I don't think Jordan Love was that good to do that.
Fair enough. Isn't it also possible, from my recollection, the Packers didn't make the most of a very good team in a record-setting year from their quarterback because their cornerback situation was a nightmare? From my memory, the cornerback is how they lost in the playoffs. That's how I recall it. So if they got a guy who we talked about in our mock draft last week as being an exceptional athlete, maybe a guy could really be good quickly, couldn't they have spun that as, hey, Aaron, you and Devontae and the guys on offense, Aaron, you guys are pretty good. We're going to go beat the defenses who screwed you. And maybe coach made a couple calls you didn't love. We'll talk to him about that. But we got you what you need, pal. Why couldn't they do that?
Well, they're probably trying to.
I guess.
But I don't think you – like, I agree with you. I think they – again, I like the draft pick, right? They need help their corners. They got a corner. Like, I think they did a good job in the draft. I just, again – don't think Rodgers gives a shit. Like, I think he only cares about what helps him personally and not so much what helps the team out. Because if you're him, you understand that the defense, what held you back last year, that is what you would want to improve. And I think they've done a good job of improving that.
Yeah. Well, All right. Well, we'll get to spend the whole offseason talking about this, because I think whether he wants to or not, he will feed this media beast all offseason long. Like, this is already the chosen story. You can count on it.
Again, like I said, now the Packers are putting out stuff trying to convince him that they tried hard to get someone a couple years ago. Yeah, it's going to be nonstop, and we will consume all of it.
Yeah.
And you know, I'll tell you what, the first time we'll be able to tell whether or not they think he's back is the schedule release is May 12th. If the Packers get their normal amount of nighttime games, the primetime games, that is telling you that they believe that the Packers will have Aaron Rodgers. If they get less than usual, like two or three, that's telling you they don't think he'll be back next season.
Okay. Well, that's a good little tip. We're going to have to keep an eye on that. I think he'll be back, and I think he's just going to hold out all offseason, and, you know, he'll just farve his way to next season, and they'll make another playoff run and maybe go deep, and they'll just lose to the team I want to bring up when we come back from break, your Chiefs. I guess not your Chiefs anymore, the Chiefs. We'll do some Chiefs talk, hit a few other draft picks, a bunch of other NFL talk in a second. Let's take a quick break and then move the line. All right, Jeff, we're back. We're playing Move the Line. What are we calling this thing? Move the Line? Moving the Line? It's our over-under game. It's a bunch of make-believe bets that I throw at you. You tell me which side of this you're on. I want to know chances the draft gave anyone an edge over the Chiefs in the AFC. Over-under, 1% chance it made a difference.
No, I think it's the other. I think the Chiefs hit a home run, dude. Think about when they entered the offseason with, right? They cut my brother. They cut Eric Fisher. Doom and gloom. Dude, they had Orlando Brown, Joe Thuney, Creed Humphreys, Trey Smith, Kyle Long, Austin, what's the kid's last name? The other center that they signed. They had their third round pick comes back from next season. He didn't play last year. Their third round pick, a tackle they hope to start. Dude, they have Mike Remmers came back as well. Dude, they are ready to go. LDT comes back from off the year off in Montreal. And we've seen the two ways to beat the Chiefs in the playoffs. Outscore them, Tom Brady did. And then also their entire offensive line is hurt. So, look, I think there's some deficiencies on the defensive side of the ball, especially pass rush, you know, edge pass rush. But, man, who's beating them, Gabe?
I don't have any – I mean, especially after hearing you outline the way that they quickly patched together a maybe even improved offensive line, but at least fixed all the problems they had. I guess I have to just throw the names at you that maybe people think could contend, at least people in Vegas would argue. So the Bills are the easiest one to bring up. They were close. You know, they drafted late. They got, you know, pieces here and there. I don't think they're a wildly different team next year, but maybe no. Josh Allen's a little better. Maybe.
The Bills and the Browns, you're going to bring up next. They both entered the draft with the idea to stop the Chiefs. I'll tell you what, right? The Bills drafted two pass rushers in the first two picks. One of them, Gregory Rousseau, is kind of not a project guy, but a high trait guy, right? Who hasn't really, he had that 1 year of production. Then they drafted the DN, I believe, from Wake Forest. The Browns got two secondary players in the offseason, plus drafted Greg Newsome from Northwestern. They're drafting to stop the Chiefs as well. And so it tells you the influence that these contenders feel on having to slow down the Chiefs' offense. The team, in my opinion, that has a chance is the Cleveland Browns. Dude, they are really good. The problem is, in my opinion, with them, is I just don't trust Baker enough. I feel like he's one of those guys that's kind of a product of the system. If the system is going well, they will win. But if the system doesn't play well enough in a game against the Chiefs, Baker's not going to be able to lead them into a victory. But they are really talented. They're very well coached. They're going to win 9, 10, 11 games next season, probably 10, 11, 12 games next season. They're the team, I think, that has a chance to beat the Chiefs.
Okay, that's interesting to hear from you, because for the whole time I've known you, you've been pissing off Browns fans by telling them, I hear it, you're fine, you're an okay team, but you aren't legit. I don't have to think about you.
I mean, again, I don't know if I think Baker's the guy, but I think that
you've crossed the tipping point into, all right, fine, now I'm willing to take them seriously.
Well, they're built, they're coached and built very well. I have to take them seriously.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, Ravens, I mean, who knows? Lamar had this fabulous year, then he looks kind of normal. What do we think about
them? The thing about the Ravens, and this pisses people off, but like, I got to see in the postseason. Everyone's a small sample size. We've seen four postseason games now in 3 years. In every game, even they beat the Titans, their offense looks so different compared to the regular season. Like, there's a huge drop-off. So, to me, I'll trust them when I see it.
Okay. All right. Well, so if we're placing bets, we're still betting money on the Chiefs to go.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think people will take a lot of flyers on the Bills. And from what you're telling me, maybe some will take flyers on the Browns. It doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of other competition in the AFC, but injuries and other weird stuff comes up. So who knows what could happen. Let me move to the champs. They drafted Kyle Trask in the second round, quarterback from Florida. Kind of early to take a quarterback when you just sort of committed to more Tom Brady in your life. So I don't know what they're thinking there. I'll ask it this way. Odds he gets signed as a starting quarterback somewhere else after backing up Brady for the 2 years you do as like the intern to Brady. 99% chance Kyle Trask's a starter somewhere else before in Tampa.
I mean, I made the joke when he was drafted. I said, I feel better for Kyle Trask because 3 years from now he'll be traded when Tom Brady signs his another 5-year extension. I mean, this is obviously for Trask. I'm sure he's pumped to go play with Tom Brady and go to a winning team, but he ain't going to play ever.
Nuh-uh.
Not going to play ever.
So why'd they use a second rounder? I mean, did they think they could move him late? What's the point? This clearly wouldn't make Tom Brady happy.
I think the point is that they need a viable backup, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
And this just with the way the roster is made up with, and the way how many guys they have coming back. I love the Joe Tryon pick in the first round.
Yeah.
I thought Kyle Trask is the best backup option. Plus, look, it worked to motivate Tom Brady in New England. It worked to motivate Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Okay. So you're back to that one. I guess also it seems to me in looking through history that Tom Brady really does treat these quarterbacks in the quarterback room like interns. And it's like, hey, look, if you give me what I need you to watch tape for me. I just need you to be like my assistant. Then I will give you the access you need to look like a ready quarterback one day. And that trade has worked for a few guys who maybe or maybe didn't deserve the chance.
And I 100% think it'll work again.
Yeah. Well, he's got pedigree, right? Like he looked awesome in college. Second round's not too late to take a quarterback. Like he could easily be somebody's quarterback in 2 years is what we're saying. All right. Let's move to another well-known college quarterback who ends up in a funny quarterback room now. So the Saints take Notre Dame's Ian Book, right? Great college player. They pick him in the fourth. They've still got Jameis, who looks like the starter, and your boy, Taysom Hill, making how many billions of dollars a year to do God knows what. So I want to know odds we see Book at quarterback at any point this season, over under 25%. Sean Payton's weird.
Like for one play or just like as a starter?
Like see him for real. Give him some real time.
0%.
0%. Okay.
Yeah. It's going to be Jameis and a Taysom Hill package and Ian Book ain't going to see the field. I don't think so. This is a curious draft choice.
I mean, it's a fourth rounder, so it's not like super valuable. It sort of feels like where teams who think they have their quarterback for now take some flyers on maybe we luck into something, right? But yeah, this one was a head scratcher because he was a very good college quarterback, but people aren't sure he's the NFL level player. Is there any possibility, coach has some sort of weird plan up his sleeve though? He seems to like to get creative.
Not with Kyle Trask, I don't think.
With Book, you mean, not Trask.
Oh, with Book, I mean. No.
Okay.
You already have your creative guy because you have Taysom Hill.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't know. I was trying to give them credit. They seem like
I just don't get this. I mean, again, you need to find backups. So I'm not against the drafting a quarterback because, you have to find backups. This just feels it doesn't feel like it's going to do anything for them in the end.
Yeah. I want to ask this here because I feel like we haven't done it yet. While we talked about Cam, while we talked about quarterbacks in Chicago, now while we're talking about quarterbacks in New Orleans, it seems like there's a few crowded quarterback rooms with more than one guy who could be a starting quarterback in the league, whether they should be or not. So do you want to just take a minute here and give me any guesses on which quarterbacks still might move this offseason? Could we see some shifting?
Do we have a surplus of quarterbacks now?
It seems like it.
I don't know. No one's moving unless there's injuries in the preseason. I mean, Jimmy G was the one guy, but the Patriots drafted the guy. Who's trading for Jimmy G now?
Well, I don't know, but I look at – we'll get to my Jets in a second, but I look at the Jets who can't love the idea of throwing, you know, Zach Wilson out there week one. I look at a few of these other teams that drafted rookies with high hopes.
But who are they traded for?
I'm not sure. I don't know if they're trades or people get cut and then sign, but
I could see veterans maybe being signed at the end.
Okay.
But I don't think it's going to be like.
So the Saints. So we're saying the Saints start the post-Breeze era with Jameis Winston and some, you know, Swiss Army knife nonsense from Taysom Hill, and they hope to win the NFC that way. That's truly their.
Yeah, I'm under on the Saints. If you didn't already know that.
All right, that was pretty clear. Yeah. All right, let's get to your sweet spot. By the way, great job on the show you put together with Fox on the live show on Thursday, but also this thing you worked really, really hard on, featuring all the linemen. So I'll ask you a lineman-related question. I thought it was curious that the two best linemen, two of the earliest guys taken, were opt-outs from the college football season in 2020. And yet people were confident that they could put these 300-pound dudes up against NFL talent right away, or they wouldn't have used first-rounders on them. So, you know, odds that the time away hurts these rookies in Sewell and Slater, over under 50%. Seems strange not to play football for a year as a guy like that.
Think about this. For a year, everyone said the opt-outs would hurt. The opt-outs would hurt. It would hurt. And like 7.5 guys got drafted in the first round who opted out.
Yeah.
No, look, it's fair to say that it's going to take a little bit of time for them to get kind of accustomed to the NFL game as far as, the speed and the physicality of it and whatnot. But I don't think it'll change the trajectory of their careers. I mean, maybe it start a little bit slower than they would have. But I don't think their careers change at all because they sat out of the season.
And why is it that linemen... Why would it be a more comfortable position as a team to pick a guy who hasn't played in a year at lineman than maybe some of the other sort of quote-unquote skill positions?
Because those guys are really fucking good.
Okay. See, you're getting smarter now, people. That's why Jeff's smarter than yours.
I mean, like that's the reason. They're really good.
All right. I mean, I guess, and you can't argue with the big body. I mean, that, if you're that big at 20, then you're... That part can't lie.
Like they're that good, and that's why they get opportunity to sit out a year and get drafted in the top 13.
Do you think that each of those guys slipped? To me, I thought that Sewell should have gone earlier.
I mean, I thought the Bengals should have drafted him, but I don't think he slipped because the top three spots were quarterbacks. Then Kyle Pitts obviously was a generational tight end talent. He's the only guy that jumped Penei who didn't play. And then the Bengals should draft him at 5, but they didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then they go with an opt-out guy in Chase, right?
Yeah, they did an opt-out guy. And then Slater, I should, fell to the Chargers because of the trade-ups that were for Justin Fields. And, the Cowboys traded back, Giants traded back.
Chargers got extremely lucky because now they have their quarterback of the future and their left tackle. Like, that's a pretty lucky. Yeah. Well, I'm a fake Chargers fan, so I'm excited about this year. Okay, since I'm a fake Chargers fan, I'm a sad real Jets fan, I'm going to ask this. Odds my Jets draft another quarterback by 2025, over under 99% chance.
Over.
100% chance, right? There's no way in the world this guy's the quarterback they like in 3 more drafts.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah. New GM, new coach, new quarterback. Maybe it could be Arch Manning.
God, you're just trolling. Here's the thing I don't understand. What is it about the Jets? I don't think this is just that I pay a little more attention to them than most. Why are analysts like Mel Kiper always trying to say how good a job they did because blank? Like, No, they didn't. They didn't do a good... We don't need to try to come up with a way to give him an A-plus
grade. Because I think the reason why is you drafted a quarterback you like, and Vera Tucker was a good draft.
Okay, great. But Vera Tucker, you could have gotten also. You didn't have to pick that quarterback. I guess I just don't understand. It's like, oh, look, the Jets, they were built on defense and pounding it with the run. Those are their best years. But now they're getting quarterbacks every 3 years and a second, third-round receiver to go with him. And then we never hear from either of them ever again. Like, why is that considered smart?
I mean, I think in the moment, everyone believes that these guys did a good job. But obviously, look, their opinions matter. If you think Zach Wilson is a good player, then you're going to grade their draft higher than you would for someone you didn't think was any good, right? Like, if you thought Trey Lance was the worst quarterback on the board, and they drafted him too, you would give them you wouldn't give them a passing grade, but they must like Zach Wilson a lot.
All right, but can we agree that the difference between Zach Wilson and Justin Fields at this point in their lives is unknowable, and that if you could have gotten Justin Fields at 11, that's a way and still get your guard in Vera Tucker with another trade, and then still have more picks, wouldn't that have been a better scenario?
Yeah, but who's trading up to two, though, right? Isn't that the question?
Well, I don't know. I guess that's where we began this show, with the confusion at three. So I don't know. Last question on all of this. Our producer, Nick, who is a, like me, retired from fandom. I am a, you know, Jets fan who can't take it any longer. He's a Giants fan ready to come back if you can give him some shred of hope. So he wants to know, odds the Giants have a better season than my stupid-ass Jets. Over under 99% chance. Of course they will.
Well, they'll be better, but they still have Danny Dimes to deal with. Is he the guy? I don't know.
Yeah. They got a lot of weapons, though, right? Like, and the running back's back. Like, they got some receivers now. Like, they should be a team that you pick a lot of fantasy players off of, nothing else.
Yes, but Jason Garrett's their OC.
That's been good for fantasy players in the past.
Yeah, but I'm not sure it's great here. I think the Giants will fight for a playoff spot. I'll give them that.
Okay. All right. Well, you have a whole offseason to break down what's going to happen to all these teams.
Yes.
Anything else from the draft we missed? We got a minute or two left. You want to fill us in?
Man, it was a fun 3 days. I love the draft. And now I feel like I'm like, what do we do now? I mean, the schedule comes out soon. We do win totals. I guess we just rest.
I think we recharge. And then... yeah,
and we're going to grade, instead of grading the drafts, we're going to grade the off seasons for every team. So we'll do that in the next couple of weeks. We'll get out to you guys. You'll hear my thoughts on every team. And then we'll do interviews and we'll get into, I mean, before you know it, it'll be June and then July. And then we're back at it. Well, training camp will be here.
I like the focus on the big men. I think you're clearly the best in the game at that. So I say we spend a lot of time talking about linemen, line play, up-and-coming line guys. Let's make people smarter on that part of the game.
And you can find my series on YouTube, on my Twitter. We have tons more content coming, X and O's content, film study, because this was supposed to be a digital show. It ended up on FS1, and so they kind of changed. I think they changed the format a little bit. And we have tons of film. We have each guy for hours on film. So we're going to release all the film to you guys. I want some more X and O's out there. But I appreciate it. We had over 1 million views on Twitter, which is pretty incredible. Yeah, it's rock and roll on YouTube as well. So please go check that out.
Yeah, it's fun stuff. Good team behind the scenes helping you with that one. And
you did a great job.
We'll track more of this draft stuff and then shift, like you said, to offseason grades in the next few weeks. So, Jeff, thanks. I got a little smarter today. I think that the smartest thing you told me was that it was really fucking good. So that's the answer on those lines. Thank you.
That's the way it works. All right, guys. Have a great one. We'll be back in the next couple of days. Take care, everyone.